Today we're going to talk about God's plan for your salvation. And there's two reasons for this today. Is if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're not sure if you were to pass away, you go to heaven, this hopefully will clear it up for you. And then all of us as believers have people that we can share the gospel with. And sometimes you may not know what to say, so I'm going to give you several just simple illustrations that you can use. So at work this week, or family members, or whoever you come in contact with, if you get a chance to share the gospel, hopefully this will give you some clips on that. What does it mean to follow Jesus? I want to walk you through that this morning. Let's pray before we start. Father, thank you for this day. This is the day you've made, and we rejoice, and we are glad in it. And we pray for each person here today. If there's anybody here, Father, today that doesn't know you as their Savior, may today be the day where they enter a relationship with you. And then I pray for us. We all know people that don't know Jesus, people that we are burdened for, that we're praying for. And I pray today that maybe we'll be able to just get an illustration or a verse that we can use to share the gospel with them. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at several verses today, and I think most of them will be up on the screen, or if you'd like to open your Bible and look at them, or open your app on your phone, either way it'd be fine. We'll start with the verse Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23. It says, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Everybody has sinned. I'm going to do a couple of props today. I'm a children's pastor first and foremost, so we're going to do a little props here, but I think it'll help you. Bring me that ball and that bowl there. So just to illustrate this, we have a bowl here that says God's perfect. We know that God's perfect. He's never sinned, never did anything wrong. Jesus was perfect. He was God's son. So I'm going to need a volunteer to come up here for me. If you don't raise your hand, I'll call on you. Let's see. Dr. Beach, can you come up and do this? You come on, give Dr. Beach a hand. So what you're going to try to do is you're going to just stand there, and you're going to try to bounce the ping pong ball one time and into the cup. It shouldn't be too hard. Let's see what we can. Let's get it here so everybody can see. All right, cheer him on. Here we go. Oh, almost. One more try. Oh, one last try. You're so close. Oh, that's all right. Give him a hand for trying. I don't know if I could do it either. So this is an illustration. All of us, we can't be perfect. God is perfect. And even if you made it in one time, you're not going to make it in every time. And so the Bible says that we're not perfect. We haven't hit the mark. We have all sinned. Sin simply is disobeying God. It's when you do things like you lie, disobey your parents, getting mad at someone, stealing, liking Auburn instead of Alabama. Sins like that. Just kidding. But how many people does the verse say have sinned? Everybody. For all have sinned. That's right. That means I've sinned. You've sinned. The best person you know in the world has sinned. Everyone has sinned. Everybody's missed the mark. They've missed it. And the Bible says in Romans 3:23 again, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious sin. Think about it. You say, I'm a pretty good person. Think about if you sinned one time a day, that's 365 sins in a year. That's a lot of sin. So think about it. No matter how good we think we are, that we have all sinned. Now, here's the problem. We owe a bill for our sin. It says in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. In other words, we owe a penalty for our sins. We owe a bill for our sin. When you go to a restaurant to eat, some of you will probably be going to the restaurant after this to eat. Do they just let you finish eating and then they just say, okay, bye. Thanks for coming in. No, right? What do they bring to your table? They bring a check, right? And if you're like me, you always look at the check and go, man, I didn't realize I ordered that much food. This is a lot of money. But they bring you a bill because you owe that. Or after service, if you were to walk over here to the neighborhood market, go in there and grab some bananas, healthy stuff, apples, they don't just say, okay, it was great having you here. You can leave now. No, we owe a bill for our sin. And the Bible says that the bill for our sin is death. What that means is if we go through life and we don't know Jesus as our Savior, it means that one day we'll be separated from God forever. Instead of living with God forever, we will be separated from God. You see, God's not going to let any sin into heaven. So if you've ever sinned one time, unless your sins are taken care of, you're not going to be able to get into the presence of God in heaven. But here's the good news. Everybody need some good news today? God knew that we would sin. He knew we wouldn't be perfect. So he sent a gift to the earth so that we could be forgiven. He made a way that our sin bill could be paid. The verse in Romans 6:23 that we read says this. It says the wages of sin again is death. And good thing, the good news is it doesn't stop there. If you look at the rest of the verse, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the amazing gift that God sent to the earth. It was Jesus. Jesus was God's son. He came from heaven and was born in a city called Bethlehem to a young virgin named Mary. And he lived a perfect life. He never, ever sinned. He did a lot of miracles to prove he was God's son. And you have people at work probably and say, I think Jesus was just a man. I don't think he really was God's son. But listen, there are so many prophecies fulfilled. There were at least 350 prophecies in the Old Testament that pointed to Jesus coming. Guess how many prophecies Jesus fulfilled? Every single one of them. And here's something really, really important I want you to understand. We're going to have a number up on the screen, the number zero. The number zero. That is the number for how many times Jesus sinned. He was perfect. He never told a lie. He never stole each other. Never stole anything. That'd have been tough to have been Jesus' brother, wouldn't it? Why can't you be like your brother? He always does right. But he lived a perfect life. He never sinned. And he came for this reason. Romans 5:8 says this. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Even though we were sinners, separated from God, God sent Jesus down to the earth for our sins. And he went through a lot of stuff for us there, didn't he? I'm sure some of you have seen the movie The Passion. If you've never seen that, man, make sure you watch it. It will help you realize the passion of the Christ, what Jesus really did for us. He came and he died for us. He was beaten with a whip 39 times. Now, the Romans used a whip called a cat of nine tails. It had nine leather straps that went out. And they would embed rock and stone and glass and stuff in those leather straps. And so, just as you saw in the, if you watched The Passion, just as they would whip you, that stuff would grab hold of your skin. And then when they pulled back, it would rip your skin from your body. And, you know, it talks about when Jesus was done sinning, you can hardly tell he was a man. Basically, all his skin had been taken off because of the whip. And then, of course, you know, they also put a crown of thorns on his head. They pushed it down hard, and it rammed there, and the blood came down. And then, of course, when they placed him on the cross, they drove nails through his hands, and they drove nails through his feet, and he was there on the cross. Why? Why was he there? Was it for his sins? Didn't have any. It wasn't for his sins. He couldn't have been dying for his own sins. Whose sins was he dying for? Your sin and for my sin. That's why he died on the cross. For your sin and for my sin. What's the penalty for sin? Death. What did Jesus do on the cross? He died. Not for his sins, but for our sins. He died in your place and in my place. He was separated from God on the cross, so you wouldn't have to be separated from God one day. He said, I thirst on the cross, so you wouldn't have to cry that out one day when you're separated from God, I thirst. He said God has turned his back on his own son. It got dark. You know why? Because God couldn't stand to look upon the sin that was on Jesus. All of our sin was upon Jesus. And so God made it dark, and he turned his back on his own son for that period of time there. So that because Jesus, our sin was upon Jesus, and he was paying for our sins. I heard a story about a little boy that went to the mall with his sister. I was going to show you this as a movie, but I'll just share it with you. He went to the mall with his sister, and she was dragging him along to get some new perfume. And he was thinking that she's already got a lot of perfume. She don't need any more perfume. But he took her there, and they went in a store, a nice jewelry store. And they were in there, and she was looking around at different jewelry and stuff. And this kid's about 7 years old. He saw something on the shelf. It was these beautiful figurines, glass figurines. And there was a big sign there that says, do not touch. Well, you know how kids are. That means, okay, go touch it. So he said, it looked like my little toys I had at my house. But these were glass, and so he went over and started playing with them, looking, kind of hiding what he was doing, and he accidentally dropped it. Whoosh, it shattered. Well, that caught the lady that ran the store, that caught her attention. And she came over and said, what have you done? You've broken this figurine. And his sister was upset at him. The store person was obviously upset at him, and so they said, you're going to have to pay for this. Well, he looked at his big sister and she said, I don't have that kind of money. And she said, no, brother, this costs a lot of money. If you can't pay for it, I'm going to call the mall security. So she got on the phone and got ready to call mall security. But all of a sudden, there was another man that was in the store there. He saw what had happened. And he went over and he stopped her and said, don't call. And he said, how much was it? And she named a big price that it cost. And he said, I'm going to pay for it. And so this little boy and his big sister looked in amazement as how this man paid his sin bill, paid his bill that he owed. And that's what Jesus did for us. He paid for our sins. On the cross, he paid for our sins. Then the great news is that he was put in the grave. He 3 days later, he rose again. So he's alive today and can forgive our sins as well. Most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. You've probably seen this. I don't think they put these up at ball games anymore. Has anybody seen it? Usually they'll make a sign that says John 3:16 at different ball games and stuff. Maybe because you can't go to the ball game. Maybe that's why. But John 3:16, it says, for God loved the world so much so that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You know, you see the world there sometimes, and you think, well, that's a big place, but you could really put your name in there. For God so loved Pamela that he gave his only son. So if Pamela believes in him, Pamela won't perish but have eternal life. You could put your name in there. He died for you. So God's forgiveness is a gift. Now we're going to do something here to illustrate this. Bring me that bag up there, happy birthday. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to find out who in here has a birthday, not past, but coming up. Does anybody have a birthday in the next week? You got a birthday in the next week? What day is it? The 7th. Anybody got a birthday before October 7th? Uh-oh. When's yours? The 5th. Anybody before the 5th? Both 5th? All right. Well, you guys can split the prize. And can you come up here? And I'm sorry, tell me your first name. Angela. Come on up, Angela. You can just stand right down here. So let's say that Angela decided, her friends decided to throw her a big birthday party. So everybody came in there and I got there. And I was like, hey, Angela, I bought you a gift. I think you'll like it. And I hand her the gift. And she opens it up and pulls out what's inside. And it's a bag of M&Ms. And she's like, I hate M&Ms. I don't want this gift. This is bad. I'd be like, okay, I'm sorry. Now, did the gift have her name on it? Was the gift for her? Yeah, it was, right? But was the gift hers eventually? No, because what? She didn't take it. Is everybody going to heaven? No, because some people say, Jesus, I don't want your forgiveness. I don't want you as my Savior. You have to make that choice. And so that's going to be for you to keep. They're yours. Happy birthday. So God is holding out his forgiveness to you, but you've got to accept it. You've got to take it as a free gift. Eternal life is a free gift. Look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is, there it is. It's the gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. It's a gift. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't go to church enough times to get it. You can't treat your neighbor well good enough times to get it. It's a free gift. So how do you accept God's forgiveness? We know that we've sinned. We know that we owe a bill for our sin. We know that Jesus died on the cross to pay for that bill. And he offers us his forgiveness as a gift. You have to reach out and accept it. And here's how you accept it. Romans 10:13 says this, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Be saved from what? Be saved from their sins. Be saved from being separated from God one day. That verse tells us how to accept God's forgiveness. Now, how do you call on Jesus? Does Jesus have a cell phone? You can call him up and say, hey, please, I accept your gift. No, how do you call on Jesus? Through prayer. So it's saying if you will bow yourself before God, if you will say, God, I believe you died for me, and you will call out to him and ask him to save you, that he will do that. Let me give you another little illustration here. This is the last one. A little illustration here. Let me that rope. Let's say that we went down to, the beach. We went down to Destin. We were down there. And you and I were out there at the beach. We were having a good time swimming. Hey, can you help me out? His son had a birthday this week, by the way. I was like, so just take that. Just go stand right back over there by the first row. We're out there swimming, and I go on out a little bit farther, and all of a sudden I get a leg cramp. And I'm like, I should have untangled that at first. It'll still work. The knot. we'll make it work. So I'm out there, and I'm starting to drown. My leg is cramping, and I'm starting to go under. And I come back, and I go, help, help, I'm drowning. Somebody help, help. And what would he do? He would grab a rope and throw it. Don't pull me off the stage. He would have saved me from drowning, right? Because I called out and I said, hey, save me. Now, that's what Jesus did for us. If you got anybody you don't like, you can go and just tie them up while you're out there. Just tie them up. That's what Jesus did for us. But there's got to come a point where you look around and go, Jesus, I know I'm lost. Jesus, save me. Save me from my sins. Save me from being separated from you. And the Bible says that when that happens, that you will know him as your Savior. So there's three things I want to just, as we get a little bit deeper on this, there's three things when you accept Christ that you ask him to do for you. Here's the first one. First of all, in these three words, if you remember these three words, this is a great way to share with your friends that don't know Jesus, these three words. First of all, you're going to ask Jesus to be your forgiver. Jesus, I'm calling upon you and I'm asking you to be my forgiver. Now, what does that mean? That means you're sorry for your sins. It means you're turning from your sins to Jesus. And it means you're trusting him as the one and only way to eternal life. And so as you call on Jesus, you say, Jesus, please forgive me. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins to you. And I believe you're the only way to heaven. And so I ask you to be my Savior. So you're a forgiver. Can anybody say forgiver with me? Forgiver. Ask Jesus to be your forgiver. You can tell your friend at work that doesn't know Jesus. First, hey guy, you got to ask Jesus to be your forgiver. Here's the second thing. Ask him to be your leader. Your leader. It says in the verse, it says, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, you're asking him to take control of your life. Doesn't mean you'll be perfect, but it means you want to follow him as best you can. When you ask Jesus to be your leader, you're asking him to be your Lord or your coach of your life. You're saying, okay, you're my coach. I want to follow you. You're saying to him that you will follow him. You'll follow him. And so you ask Jesus to be your forgiver, and you ask Jesus to be your leader. Here's the third thing. That when you call out to him, say, Jesus, I want you to be my friend. I want to enter a relationship with you. And here's the good thing. When you enter a relationship with him, he's going to always be with you. He will not turn his back on you. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, I want to show you an illustration about the cross. And so I think we've got a picture up there of Jesus. If you'll put that up. Jesus died up on a mountain, a small mountain there. And so first of all, we have Jesus on the cross. Now, what does the zero stand for above Jesus' head? He never what? Never sinned. Never sinned. So he was there on the cross, the perfect Son of God. But did you know, I'm sure you've read this, but if not, there were two other people up there at the same time. There were two other crosses up there, one on his right and one on his left. Now, the Bible says that these two men were criminals. And so I think we have the word sin. They deserved to be there. They had done some bad stuff. Jesus was perfect. They had sinned. They were criminals. They deserved to be there. They had to pay for their sins. So the Bible talks of it as Jesus was there on the cross, that one of the men began to mock him. Oh, you're not really God's son. If you are God's son, then get us down off the cross. This man said no to Jesus. By doing that, he was saying, I'm going to have to pay for my sins myself and be separated from God. The other man turned to Jesus, and in just a short phrase, he said, Father, remember me when you go into your kingdom. He said yes to Jesus. He said yes to Jesus. And that day, his sins were forgiven, and he was on his way to heaven. He turned to Jesus as his Savior. Now, here's what I want you to understand. It dawned on me one day as I was reading this and thinking about this, it dawned on me that these two men are a picture of the entire world. The entire world. Everybody that lived on this earth has to make a decision about Jesus. And your decision is either, yes, I believe you're my Savior, or no. Everybody has to make that decision. And if you're here today, you've never made that decision to accept Christ, man, today will be a great day to accept him as your Savior. Nobody can make the choice for you. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. So you have to make the decision for yourself. And as we said earlier, it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. You know, here's just the last illustration I want to share with you. Think about today if you were to go up to the gates of heaven and an angel came out and said, "Why should we let you come in here? Why should we let you come in?" What would you say? If he said, you can come in, but first tell me why I should let you in, what would you say? "I've been a good person. I went to city church almost every week, hardly ever missed. I was a good employee. I was a good worker. I knew about God. I heard about God." There's a difference in knowing God and knowing about God and knowing God. Some of you, especially if you're raised in church, you may know about Jesus. You've heard about him, but you've never known him personally. There's a big difference. And so you call upon him and you say, "Please, I want to go to heaven." And when you get to the gates there, the answer would be, "I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I've trusted Jesus as my, I've asked him to be my forgiver, my leader, my friend." That's the only answer that will get you entrance into heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Except through me. Now, we live in a day of intolerance. You know, if you go to work or you go to school and or you go somewhere you're around people and you say Jesus is the only way to heaven, they're going to say, "Oh, wait a minute. You're a bigot. You're intolerant. There's many ways to heaven." We got to stick by what God's word says. Amen. The opinions of men will come and go, but we stand with the word of God. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." He's the one and only way. And so you got to put all your trust and faith in him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We were reminiscing, my parents are here, we were reminiscing when I accepted Christ. I was 5 or 6 years old. I was 4 years old. Wow, I was a baby. I was 4 years old, but I remember to this day it happening. My dad, of course, was an evangelist and was preaching in different churches. And we were in a small church that week. And kind of for the first time in my life, I realized and it clicked that I needed to accept Jesus as my Savior. And I was in the back with my mom. And the invitation started. And I stepped down to the aisle. And I got scared and stepped back in. I stepped out to the aisle to go forward. And I got scared and I stepped back in. Did that for several nights. But finally, one night, I didn't stop. I ran to the front of the church. And even though I was just a small kid, I hadn't murdered anybody or got drunk or anything like that. But I was a sinner, you know. All of us are sinners. You don't have to teach people to be a sinner. You don't sit down with your kid and go, "Now, let me explain to you how to tell a lie. Here's how you do it." Or here's how you steal something from the store. It's natural. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Does that make sense? We sin because we are sinners. And so I went down and got on my knees and said, "Jesus, I know I'm just a little guy. But I know I've sinned. I know I've done wrong. And I feel that. Would you please come into my life and be my Savior?" And that was 53 minus 4, 49. 49 years ago, he came into my life. I've never doubted it since. I met him that night for the first time. And so you may be here today and you've never made that decision. Man, what a great day to accept Christ into your life. And those of you who have friends and coworkers and family members that need to know Jesus, it's the most important thing you can ever share with them. The most important thing you ever share with them. We were talking yesterday, there was a family in our neighborhood there in Mississippi. The son had open heart surgery, and we were able to go down there and talk with him, and my dad was able to share the gospel with him. And he prayed right there that night and accepted Christ. And thankfully, he's gotten a heart, and he's doing good. But that was the most important decision that kid was ever going to make in his life. He was an older teenager. And it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life.